Good evening, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is...
Morbid Possessions.
So, we're coming to you guys from Lauren's closet once again, and we're very, very, very excited to tell you guys this, this story. Drumroll. The Toy Box Killer.
David Parker Ray.
This is, like, one of my favorite serial killer stories ever, like... When I originally heard about it, I was listening to this other podcast called Morbid Podcast. They're amazing. And I actually had to stop listening to it because I was cringing so bad. And it was also 3 o'clock in the morning when I was driving and I had just woken up, so it didn't really help.
Anytime I listen to a podcast that I have to turn it off, it's because I'm by myself in the house and I freak myself out and I have to turn it off and then go watch like cartoons or something.
I feel like watching scary story kind of, or scary stories, scary stuff kind of like eases me at night.
I thought you were talking about scary stories to tell in the dark. And I was going to laugh.
No, it eases me at night. Like I used to know this kid that he would listen to like sounds of people screaming on YouTube to go to sleep every night. He was dating one of my friends.
I'm so concerned for you.
Long story short, they broke up shortly after I found that out.
Because he was... A low-key serial killer.
Probably. He was pretty weird. I didn't really know.
Just remember this story so you can tell it to the media one day.
I don't even remember his name or what he looks like. That's how, like, unimportant he was to me.
Well, there you go. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
You want to go first?
Do you want to introduce David Parker Ray?
Yeah, so David Parker Ray was born November 6, 1939. He is an American serial killer. I'm going to say allegedly.
Allegedly.
And known torturer of women. No bodies were ever found. That is why I'm saying allegedly.
So, do you have any background of his childhood?
I do. Ray's childhood was the start of what many believe turned him into a murderer. Ray lived with his grandfather. He still saw his father, but his father physically abused him. Parker also was bullied by his peers for his shyness around girls. As a teenager, he started abusing alcohol, drugs. Ray's rough start continued to progress into adulthood and eventually led him to the victimizing of young women.
So I actually found some more details on his childhood. David, his parents, they were poor and they lived with the mother's parents. David had one younger sister named Peggy. The father was Cecil Ray, who was an abusive alcoholic, and he would physically beat them. David's mother, Nettie, was rumored to be an alcoholic and a drug user. Cecil and Nettie divorced when David was 10, and his dad moved out of the house, and their mother, Nettie, disappeared. So that's when David and Peggy were sent to live with their grandparents on a ranch in Mountaineer, New Mexico. Their grandfather, Ethan Ray, was said to be very strict, and he would beat the kids if they did not follow his orders. Their father, Cecil, would come visit from time to time, and he would bring David sadomasochistic pornography. When David was 14... When David was 14.
Hey. We don't make fun of people with southern accents. It's a touchy subject to me.
When David was 14, his sister Peggy found his pornography as well as other graphic BDSM pornography he had drawn himself. She never mentioned it until later on during the trials. So David was awkward in his adolescence, and like Lauren said, he did experiment with drugs and alcohol, and he began to develop fantasies for BDSM, rape, and torture. He joined the Army and worked as a mechanic with the Army and was later released from his duty on an honorable discharge. He worked as a mechanic when he got out of the Army. Everyone said he was great at his job, and he was very helpful and knowledgeable. He even made his own tools for his craft, which would come in handy later. Others called him friendly and recalled him helping them and teaching them when it came to mechanics. David Parker Ray was married 4 times and divorced 4 times. His first wife claims that David once told her that when he was younger, he captured a woman, tied her to a tree, and tortured her. His wife left him due to, quote-unquote disturbing behavior, but it was never explained what that disturbing behavior was. Lord. So David obviously had a string of failed relationships. This could indicate his need to fit in and appear normal by having a woman in his life. The woman all divorcing him indicated that he was bad at being a husband and could not fool them or keep them for long once they got too close. David lived in, say it.
A double-wide trailer?
No.
Oh, Truth and Consequences.
He actually lived in Elephant Butte. And
it looks like elephant butt when you look at it.
It does look like elephant butt. Truth or Consequences was like a 9-minute drive, so it's right next to each other. He was a maintenance man for the New Mexico Parks Department there. His neighbor said he was a regular, nice guy. He had two daughters, one who we're not going to mention because there's nothing much, like really much on her, and she wants nothing to do with him or the case. And then there was Glenda Jean, a.k.a. Jesse Ray.
Lord, I need coffee.
So the area that they lived in was a very rural area, and the population was low and filled with plenty of empty desert land, as well as a man-made reservoir. There were lots of drifters that passed through. They would camp at the reservoir. The area was riddled with drug users and prostitutes. There were a lot of odd crimes in the area. I heard of one where they found a man murdered in a motel room, and he was wearing blue woman's panties.
Oh, I heard the same story.
Another of a woman who had been whose body had been put in the trunk of a car by her husband, and the car was set on fire. So crime here wasn't uncommon, and at one point the area was considered to have the second highest crime rate in the country. So eventually David Parker Ray found a girl who had the same taste as him, the bondage and the torturing of women. Her name was Cindy Hendy.
I can't.
Every time I hear her name, I laugh a little.
It just makes me think of, like, a cartoon character. Or, like, a bad Disney villain.
A very, very bad cartoon character.
Like a Disney Channel original movie Disney villain.
Sandy Handy. Burr, burr, burr. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Burr, 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 burr. I was trying to do a hillbilly dance, but I don't know how to make a hillbilly dance noise. How do you do it?
Are you trying to make a banjo noise?
Yeah, how do you do
a banjo? Fuck you, bitch. Just keep on with your story.
So they spent $1,000 on a trailer, which they would turn into the toy box. It's rumored that they spent up to $100,000 soundproofing the trailer and filling it with various torture devices and tools, along with a gynecologist chair to hold the women. They also had various sexual toys, some of them handmade out of PVC pipes. One was shown with nails at the base of the toy that was made to damage the woman's private areas once the toy reached the area. The toy was not the average diameter as most normal sexual toys, so they were made out of large pipes, and they would surely hurt the woman and were not made for pleasure, especially the ones with the nails. So these things were, like, huge mm-hmm. in diameter.
Oh, maybe this would be a good time, or before we had even said this, this is graphic.
What?
This episode.
Oh, yeah. If you have any children in the room, this is the time to throw them outside with the dogs.
Throw them outside before this episode starts. I wish we could have said.
If you have any children, stop now.
Or if you just have children, not if they're around?
If they're around.
Oh, okay.
If you're sensitive, then you probably don't want to listen to this.
Ew. Is this the point where I say I hate the sound of people chewing and swallowing?
So David also had ankle spreaders that would spread the victim's legs so far that their hips would pop out of place.
And it would, like, tear muscles.
Oh. They also had whips, chains, pulleys, surgical tools, as well as a pap smear device.
And a fur-lined coffin. Don't forget that one.
The pap smear device is what got me and why I had to stop listening to the Morbid podcast when I listened to it a couple months back mm-hmm. or whenever I listened to it. Because that thing, I don't know if you've ever gotten a pap smear, but that shit is not fun.
I'm be honest, and I have it, but I need it.
You hear the ball, like, popping every time they shove it in deeper and deeper.
No.
And they have to dig this little thing around to find your cervix and scrape tissue off of it.
Ew! Why? Why?
So when I heard that, I was out. I was like,
no. Mama!
Honestly, wait to get a pap smear. Don't do it.
Mama, I'm scared.
It is the most terrifying thing you will ever experience.
I'm scared. I don't want one. I know everyone needs one.
I think you're only supposed to do it after you're like a certain age, like in your mid or late 20s or something.
My doctor told me I was already supposed to have one.
I think you're supposed to have one like every 10 years or something, right?
I don't know.
Don't do it.
I'm afraid.
If you have vagina cancer, it's fine. I'm just kidding. I know the technical term for it. I'm just cervical? Being ignorant. Yeah. So, it's rumored that David Parker Ray would fill a woman's private areas with gravy, and he would then have dogs lick the gravy out of the woman's genitals and anal area. Why?
Have you ever seen Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, I have.
You know when Big Boo uses peanut butter for her dog that she's training?
That's fucking disgusting.
It's nasty. And after she gets rid of the dog, because she knows it was fucked up.
Dude, that's so gross. Anyone who does that to an animal deserves to get beaten to death. Like, if I ever found out someone did that to my precious baby, I would murder them.
Yeah. Valid.
Although it is unconfirmed, it is rumored that other men could have visited the toy box and taken terms with the women that were in the toy box. And it is also rumors that the dogs could have done more than just lick gravy off of the woman.
I think that's all the dogs had to do to make it just awful. I don't want to know anything else about these poor babies.
That's so fucked up. David Parker Ray created an audio tape to play for his victims. The tape was said to have been made on July 23rd, 1993. And how did it start?
Hello, bitch. Or it's like, hello there, bitch. Something like that. It's actually awful.
It's so fucked up. I actually have some of it printed out here.
It's 40 minutes long.
It's 40 minutes long, so I'm only going to read the ending of it. Because I'm just not going to do all that. So, basically, I want to become very familiar with your sex organs and the size of the holes. All girls are different. During the course of the day, you're going to be raped several times, but that's no big deal. The second day, after you get totally familiar with the rules and procedures, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. A lot of it will not be very pleasant for you, but you might as well get used to it because it's going to be like that for a while. Eventually, things will settle down a little, then just take it day by day. Well, I believe I've told you about everything that I can. I cannot predict the future. I can't predict the changes of procedure. But if this tape is being played for you, I have to assume that it is still reasonably accurate. And I can only give you advice. Be smart and be a survivor. Don't ever scream. Don't talk without permission. Be very quiet. Be docile and obedient. And by all means, show proper respect.
Fuck him. What a dick. I'm sorry. And I just want to know, how the fuck are you supposed to ask for permission to speak if you're not allowed to speak?
I don't know.
It's just a control thing. I hate him. I hate people like this.
So now we're going to get into the people, the kidnappies a little bit.
You mean victims?
Yes, the victims.
So just forget.
Kidnappies.
Kidnappies.
Abductees.
That works.
On October 1st, 1995, Jill Troyo was seen at a bar with friends. She left the bar with Jesse Ray to go to a restaurant. Witnesses reported seeing Jill and Jesse have an argument at the restaurant. Jesse said that her and her father left the restaurant together and left Troyo behind, but still Troyo was never heard from again. Troyo was said to be a very trusting woman, and it was out of her character not to be in contact with her family. Her case was never solved. 22-year-old Cynthia Vigil was picked up by Ray in March 1999. Cynthia was a prostitute and offered David Parker Ray a blowjob in exchange for money. David posed as an officer and falsely arrested her and took her into the car. While to her shock, Cynthia was not taken to the police station, but to David's house. There was a dirty mattress on the floor, which she would be chained to and sleep on for 3 days when she wasn't in the toy box. After 3 days of being raped and tortured, David Parker Ray left to work and left Cindy Hindy in charge of watching Cynthia.
Sorry, just her name.
Yeah, her name's pretty bad.
You said it with such confidence. Cindy Hindy.
Cindy Hindy. Cindy received a phone call and walked into the other room to talk. Well, she didn't realize that she had left the keys to the chain that was restraining Cynthia near her. Cynthia knew that was going to be her only chance to escape, so she managed to grab the keys and unlock the chain. Cindy heard Cynthia trying to escape and started to fight Cynthia, reaching for a nearby lamp and smashing it on Cynthia's head. Cynthia was able to grab an ice pick that was on the floor nearby and stab Cindy Hindy in the neck region. This was able to get Cindy off for just enough to make her escape. She ran down the street naked with a chain around her neck that was 6 feet long. She tried to flag down cars, but no one stopped for her. She was running down the street, banging on doors, trying to get someone to help her when an elderly woman finally opened the door for her. She called the police to come for her and dressed her. Cynthia was terrified and hid underneath the table and frantic. Cynthia was still unsure whether her abductor was part of the police department. Cynthia was taken to the hospital, and I don't know, did you read about what happened in the hospital?
Where they were questioning her, and Cindy walks by, and she, like, freaks out, and she's like, that's her, and then...
Yeah, because Cindy Hindy was there getting her injury treated for when Cynthia attacked her with an ice pick in the neck.
Yeah.
So the police went to Cindy Hindy and David Parker Ray's house to do some evidence, even though they didn't really believe what Cynthia was saying because she was a prostitute and she was on heroin. So she wasn't a very credible source, according to them, which I think is an asshole fucking move.
Well, most detectives or police officers will say that a sex worker lives a high-risk lifestyle. And so they're basically putting themselves in that situation. So sometimes they don't believe them. Sometimes they're just like, oh, well, damn. Shit out of luck.
So the police went to David Parker Ray and Cindy Hindy's house and found enough evidence to believe Cynthia's story, especially with a dirty mattress being on the floor that had a padlock to change women onto it. When they found the trailer, they were definitely convinced that something was going on there. They found the gynecologist chair with chains and ropes to hold women down, as well as various torture devices, some handmade. There were also roughly about 100 videos of David Parker Ray raping and torturing women. There was also a journal that had details of incidents as well as tally marks, which are thought to have been the number of times that the abductee was raped. There were Polaroids of the victims, and they found an audio tape, which was presumed to be what he would initially play for his victims when they were captured and before they were raped and tortured, which is a little bit of what I had just read earlier. Did you read about
the tally marks? I read about that one.
What about the tally marks?
They had like the date of the abduction, their age next to it, and then tally marks. They were like 60 of them or so.
Yeah, there was enough evidence from it in his journal to make it evident that it was about roughly 60 victims.
Mm-hmm.
So in one of the videos found in the toy box, there was a video of a woman with a distinct tattoo on her calf. Did you read about this?
Yes, and I watched a clip of that video to see the tattoo because I was like, it's an ankle tattoo. A lot of people have them. It's not that uncommon, but, you know, they said it was a really distinct
tattoo. Yeah, like squiggly lines or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Really an obscure design.
Yeah. So the police officers send the video to the FBI to see if they can make out what the tattoo is, even though the video is very, like, low resolution and grainy, so somehow the FBI is able to make out what the tattoo is, and they release it to the public, asking for whoever has that tattoo to come forward. Well, Kelly Garrett from Colorado recognizes her tattoo and goes to the police station in Truth or Consequences. I still can't get over this name. The city's name or the town's name.
There's a lot of
consequences.
There's a lot of weird places in New Mexico. That's where I just came from.
Like, go where are you from, truth or consequences? Like, I feel like you would get down in an old school cowboy show down there.
Yeah, valid. Well, there's a place called Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Don't really want to go there.
No.
Kelly claimed that her and her husband had gotten into an argument one day, and she went to play pool in Elephant Butte. Being that she had lived in the area there prior to moving to Colorado, she ran into a friend there, Jesse Ray. Her friends leave early and she stays at the bar with Jesse. After having one beer, she doesn't feel very well and asks Jesse to take her home. She doesn't remember anything after this until she wakes up and a strange man is picking her up to help her off the side of the road. There are so many things wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
The police officers show Kelly the video of her being raped and tortured. And she begins to recall the events that happened during those 2 days. Kelly had been drugged during those 2 days, so she came in and out of consciousness. She was raped during that time and tortured until David dumped her side on the road after he thought she was dead. It said that he slashed her throat before he dumped her on the side of the road, and she was treated at a local clinic after a man found her on the side of the road and took her home. That part's just kind of unclear to me. If he slashed her through and threw her on the side of the road, why would the man drive her home and then she goes to the local clinic from there? If your throat is cut, why don't you go directly to the local clinic?
See, I didn't know that her throat was cut at all. I heard that, you know, he drove her home and her husband thought she was either cheating on him.
Yeah.
Or,
No.
That she was on a drug bender.
He thought that she was cheating on him, so they got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she moved to Colorado within the same week. And she had no clue what went on, but she recalls having nightmares, vivid nightmares, of being tied up and being penetrated. But she always brushed it off as like, oh, I've just been through a lot, so I'm just experiencing this because of how much I've had going on in my life. But once they actually showed her the video of her being raped and tortured,
everything came, like, flooding back to her.
Yeah.
And, like, she went through a traumatic experience, and there's a lot of people that will suffer from trauma, and they block it out completely.
Yeah, repressed memories. I just can't even imagine that, like, living my life, like, nothing's going on, and then someone shows you such a disturbing video of yourself. I would be done with life, to be honest.
I mean
like, you have to be a very strong person to be able to overcome something like that, because I personally,
and she's a fucking badass.
Yeah,
she really is. You know, you can tell, like, she's scared, she's hurt from what happened to her, but she's still a very strong woman to be able to talk about it and talk about her experience.
Definitely. So around this time, a woman named Angelica Montano came forward once again after hearing the incident with David Parker Ray. She claimed she had been raped and tortured by David and Cindy for 3 days and then drugged and dumped on the side of the road. She was ignored the first time she came forward due to being a prostitute and being on drugs, as the police didn't think she was a credible source. She gained the courage to come forward again when the police had the evidence from Cynthia's case. Unfortunately, Angelica passed from an overdose before she made it to trial. She was never able to see justice. I think that's one of the things that, like, affect me the most from this, is that she was never able to see justice for her, what happened to her. And the police, you know, like, denied what had happened to her and turned her away when she asked for help initially. And when they finally were listening to her, she passed.
Her mom said something, like, devastating at his tribal.
What did she say?
She, like, came out to say, like, she had, like, a heart of gold, her smile that filled the room. And because of David Ray, she lost everything.
That's so sad. So, Cindy said she was willing to give information on David Parker Ray. in exchange for a lesser sentence. Cindy stated that David was selling women to sex traffickers and that he referred to the women as packages. She also, which honestly, this kind of makes sense because of how little information there is on the case and how, like, the bodies were never found. Honestly, this kind of points to there being people in that town who were in on it, possibly law, like, police officers as well. It seems like a huge cover-up.
Yeah. Well, even when she talks about, she had said that they dumped bodies.
Yeah.
In the lake.
She said they dumped 7 bodies in the reservoir.
And that they would, like, he would, like, cut it. So then the body would fill with water and sink.
Because at first, the first body he threw floated up. So he cut the body open and down, like, the stomach region so it would sink. And then eventually he started filling the bodies with rocks so they would sink and stay down.
Mm-hmm. And then when she told that to police, they had talked about, you know, possibly draining the water. But they said that they weren't going to go into the water because the water was too dark and it was too deep.
Yeah, so they said that they weren't going to search because it was too deep and that they couldn't afford to drain the reservoir because it was too expensive to drain it.
And it's like, so a human life isn't worth.
That sounds like a huge cover-up. That sounds like an excuse.
So when you're saying, like, they had to have been on it, it makes sense now that you're saying that, why they wouldn't do something like that.
Yeah. So Jesse Ray claimed that she didn't know what happened to the woman at the toy box, and she claims to have called the FBI previously on him in the 80s. Jesse was also known to be a violent drug dealer, which to me, okay, is it a coincidence that she sold drugs and the women were being drugged, especially Kelly, who was incoherent for so long on drugs, and she was the one that took her there? Like, come on now. Jesse was definitely drugging the woman. She was taking them there.
100% she did.
And I can't remember where, but a while back I heard a rumor that Jesse Ray might have had a sexual relationship with David Parker Ray. Which makes sense if she's bringing the women back home and she's drugging them for him, kidnapping them. Is she doing stuff with him?
Possibly, but I'm sure he had her in on it because she was a woman and women can trust other women.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something going on there.
It's really gross and just disgusting.
So Jesse was charged with kidnapping and was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. A third suspect was arrested, 27-year-old Dennis Roy Yancey, for the accusation of kidnapping and murder of his ex-girlfriend, 22-year-old Marie B. Parker, who was last seen July 5th, 1997, at a bar near David Parker Ray's home. News stations called Yancey David Parker Ray's protege. Yancey admitted to being with David and Jesse when they kidnapped Parker and took her to the toy box. David and Jesse told Yancey to kill her, and he did by strangling her with rope. They threatened to kill him if he ever told anyone. In 2010, Yancey went on parole after serving 11 years in prison, but he was not released until 2011 due to some difficulties. He ended up violating his parole 3 months after being released. It is said that he was taken back into custody, but he was released on parole. Information on Yancey is hard to find, including his whereabouts. As for Cindy Hindy, she was sentenced to 36 years. She was released after serving nearly 20 years of her 36-year sentence on Monday, July 15th, 2019, which was just a couple of months ago. Department of Corrections said her last 2 years in prison counted as her parole, so she does not need to recall her whereabouts to the state after being released. How do you do parole in prison? Parole is normally after prison. Like, I've never heard of someone doing parole in prison. So her whereabouts are unknown, which is very dangerous. Like, nobody knows anything about her. I couldn't find anything on the internet about where she's at, whether she has a job, what city she's living, nothing. She's just gone.
I'm sorry. Things like that need to be released to the public. Like, if people have to register as sex offenders and notify their neighbors. I think murderers and people who are accessories to crime like this.
Well, technically, have
to do the same thing.
Wouldn't she be a sex offender because she was raping and torturing women?
She was just an accessory.
Wow. So, David Parker Ray claimed during the trial that all of the women he took to the toy box were prostitutes and all sexual acts were consensual. He was completely calm and appeared to be smug. It was very evident that he was not affected by his crimes, and he had no trouble lying and attempting to gaslight the victims. David Parker Ray was sentenced to 224 years in prison after being convicted for the abduction and torture for the three women, Cynthia, Kelly, and Angelica. His first trial in Tierra Murillo, New Mexico, was concluded to be a hung jury after the jury could not agree on a verdict. How do you not agree on a verdict? Like, this guy is guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty. Guilty.
It's because they wouldn't take them as credible witnesses.
This is the part where if I was wearing a wig, I would have snatched my wig off.
Get me.
So, his second trial was in a small town he had been raised, and that is where he confessed his crimes against Cynthia as part of a plea deal for Jesse. Ray stated that his time in prison allowed him to reflect, read the Bible, and get right with God. Ray said he put his life in God's hands. He said he cannot change the past, but he can only be sorry.
Fuck you. You don't get to be sorry for what you did.
Why does everyone always turn to God and they're like, oh,
because they're trying to appeal to parole boards.
Ugh. On May 28th, 2002, Ray was being transported to be questioned by state police. He died of a heart attack before he could be questioned. This was 8 months after being sentenced. He was only held altogether for 2.5 years. It is believed that he could be responsible for the deaths of 60-plus women, according to his journal. No bodies were ever found. FBI agent Mary Ellen O'Toole is said to have stated that Ray was a criminal, sexual sadist, and that there is no known therapy for Ray's paraphilia, his sexual disorder. In November 2002, the toy box was opened to the public to try to get more victims to come forward, but it just turned into a tourist attraction. Why would they do that? Do they never learn anything? That's just kind of like destroying evidence, just letting people walk through there and touch things. And I kind of wish that I would have went. Damn.
We could have gone. Road trip.
But also, imagine being the police officers that initially walked into that scene. Because I saw a guy who had on gloves, and he was picking up the PVC toy with the nails. And he was touching the nail with his glove. And I was like, dude, why would you do that? Like, if that
first of all, rips, that's been in someone's vagina.
And that nail could rip that glove, and then those germs are on you.
That, and now you're getting your DNA onto this piece of evidence.
Not only getting your DNA, but my thing is there is germs on it. That is dirty. I wouldn't touch anything in there.
You kind of have to at some point, so you have to collect the evidence.
I would put on those, like, rubber, like, lawn gloves.
Okay.
And I would layer, like, 10 of them on. And I would look like Mickey Mouse as I'm grabbing everything. Basically.
Jesus. I just couldn't get over the, like, wallpapering in there of the porn magazine.
Yeah. And then pages. All of the drawings that he made himself for, like, his BDSM, like, fetish drawings.
Or pictures of his victims.
Satan's Den. That one was my favorite.
Do you want me to get you a sign that says Satan's Den?
Yes.
Okay.
There was another one that said the bondage room as well. That was pretty cool.
I question Alma sometimes, guys. I'm gonna be honest. I love her to death, but damn.
I'm like literally the most innocent one in reality. Like, all I do is like eat ice cream and skip in sunshine.
And occasionally talk about Disney movies.
Not really.
No. When you throw up like a Disney fact or about, you like talk about some cartoon, I'm like, who are you?
I haven't seen a cartoon since, well, I watched Hotel Transylvania a couple months ago.
It's really cute.
That's it, though.
It's such a cute movie.
I don't really do cartoons. I'm too old for cartoons. I'm too dead inside.
Bob's Burgers is a cartoon.
I don't watch that.
You need to.
I don't want to.
You don't want to see Baby Can You Chive My Car?
Not really. I don't know. So cartoons just don't really entertain me as much.
Fair enough.
But anyways,
Sorry, we're chatting. Cynthia's grandmother said she prays Ray will suffer every day for the rest of his life. She claimed, Satan has a place for you. I hope you burn in hell forever. Cynthia herself said, I bear scars outside and the inside that will never heal.
Ouch.
Those were said at his trial.
And I remember reading about those. But I was like, that's a lot.
Because the victims deserve to have their voices heard.
Yeah, definitely way more than he does. And there's so many more victims out there, which imagine how many don't recall the evidence, the like incidents, or they're too scared to come forward. And then, I mean, how many bodies could there be in the reservoir? And then that area is desert land and there's nothing for miles. There could be bodies out there in the desert.
Yep.
It's terrifying.
I was just in Las Cruces and it's empty. Like, after you get outside of the city, like, there's nothing. Even in the city, there are tons of just, like, empty areas.
I think I would enjoy living somewhere like that.
It's beautiful. I love Las Cruces. The Oregon Mountains are beautiful.
I would just hope that if I get murdered in a rural area like that, it's someone that's hot. If it's David Parker Ray, like, I'm going to be so over it.
Okay, Alma has talked about how this is her number one, or that's her number one way she wants to go.
My number one way to die. My number one way to die is in my sleep peacefully. And if I can't go in my sleep peacefully, then I guess being chased by a murderer would be, I don't know, like it would be
pretty big. That is in New Mexico.
Adrenaline hit. Yeah, that's pretty. So. So, we do have an update on the shirts. Lauren, why don't you tell them?
Good news, guys. We're in screen printing now. Officially. Finally. We're excited.
They still haven't refunded my money for the other shirts, though, which I'm pretty we're upset bitter. About.
But you know what? T-shirts are launching. We have those pictures on our Instagram.
Yeah. We're definitely going to take some more pictures for the website. Website's coming soon. I've worked on 3 different website software things, and I can't decide which one I like better. So far, 3 websites main, and I don't like any of them, so I think I'm going to start from scratch from another one.
So glad.
Yeah, because I freak out, and I'm a perfectionist.
That she is. I had to take over for our business cards, and I think if you did them, it would have taken so much longer. For me, it took 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you were so happy with them after.
I really did like those. Like, that's the one thing that I really liked. But the website is just too much detail for me.
Fair enough. I'm actually wearing one of our shirts right now. I'm very comfortable. And it's a very cute shirt.
It is very cute. So, this should be airing the day after Thanksgiving, aka Black Friday. So, I hope you guys all have a wonderful time with your family. Thank you for listening. Thank you for continuing to support. I hope you guys have fun Black Friday shopping, if that's what you do.
Please stay safe.
I will not be doing that because I hate being in crowds like that.
That's terrifying. This is actually going to be released
on Black Friday.
Yeah. So you might be Black Friday shopping at this moment as you're listening to this. Please be safe. Don't get trampled at Walmart.
Yeah.
And if you have any fun stories about your Black Friday shopping, I want to hear it.
Yeah, definitely message us on the Instagram, email us, tell us your stories, whether it has to do with Thanksgiving or whether it has to do with murder. All right, you
especially
guys.
Murder.
Especially murder. Well, hopefully you guys will be listening next week, so have a good weekend, and we love you guys.
Stay safe, guys.
Stay morbid.
Jesus Christ. Bye.
Bye.